Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Did you have Alabama and Clemson in your Elite Eight? Whoever wins that game, the team to stop the run. Hey, it's Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. No, we're talking about men's basketball.
Yeah, I had
football.
Them in the Final Four 5 years ago. No,
College football playoff. So
I did not. I got to tell you right now, Maggie, my Auburn-Arizona Final Four matchup is not looking good.
You know, you're ever the optimist, Perloff, but I don't think this one's going your way. Welcome to the show. I said Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We have upsets galore for you last night in the men's NCAA tournament. So the first number one seed in the entire bracket goes down last night. That's North Carolina. The Tar Heels fall to Alabama. And then Arizona, which was the second seed in the West region, they fall to Clemson. Perloff, if I asked you who had the worst choke job last night, was it the Wildcats or the Tar Heels?
No doubt. Arizona. Arizona has so much more talent than Clemson. Should have won that game. If they had played a smart game, they would have won by 10. Now, Clemson was hitting their shots. I'll give them that. And they played really well. And maybe I'm underestimating this team because I think the entire country has been underestimating them. But Arizona had clear advantages. They just played so dumb. They just fired up three after three after three and couldn't hit anything. I don't know if they were choking on their shooting or they're just a bad shooting team. But they're the ones who are going to look back and say, I can't believe we lost that team. On the other hand, I felt like watching Alabama and North Carolina, talent level was really close. Alabama, give them so much credit. I think if those teams played 10 times, it's going to be split down the middle. I think if Arizona played Clemson 10 times, Arizona would figure them out. So to me, Arizona's the one who completely blew it last night.
Yeah, but I don't know if a lot of people were expecting that Arizona was actually going to win this whole tournament. I think a lot of people were expecting that North Carolina was going to win this whole tournament. You did have seniors.
Yeah.
You have so much experience and so much talent. And this is where these two games had a little something in common. I mean, can't hit the ocean from the beach from three with some of the best players on the team. And RJ Davis for North Carolina, who I think had the bigger choke job last night, is a senior All-American playing in the Sweet 16. You go 4-for-20 and 0-for-9 from three. I mean, it's just an all-time awful shooting night. And beyond that, North Carolina, you have size. How are you letting Grant Nelson be at the basket totally unchecked, unblocked, on anything, undisrupted, you know?
Besides, apparently means nothing anymore. I've seen so many bigger teams just not using that size. Obviously, the three-point shot has neutralized a lot of that size. I felt like Alabama's guards just really physically dominated North Carolina in a sense. Again, but you know what the common thread to me, it's got to be coaching, right? Clemson, their coach had everything under control the whole game. It felt like
they
were running their sets and they were controlling the pace. And it felt like Alabama somehow controlled that game. Like North Carolina had the lead at half, obviously, but it felt like Alabama sort of was dictating where the game was going.
Yeah, I felt like that. The Arizona-Clemson, though, and you're saying Arizona was the bigger choke job last night, losing to Clemson. Yeah. Clemson had kind of been shorthand in this tournament for like a mediocre team in a major conference. We're all kind of, you know, eating those words for sure. But it was just terrible shooting for a long stretch in the second half on both sides. No one could make a basket. I mean, it was just some really tough offensive basketball to watch. It was like a lid on the basket for Arizona, and both teams kind of had that. I think for Alabama, they got to play the exact game they wanted to play. Like, North Carolina, where were you? you know, you were, it's not like everyone was bad in that game and it was a tight game and it came down to the wire, but Alabama, you know how they want to play, and UNC said, here you go. Play exactly how you want to play. We know how you want to play. We know how you would beat us, and why don't we put up absolutely, show you nothing else, because just ole, here you go. And it wasn't a blowout, obviously. It was a close game because North Carolina's talent.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but to me, doesn't it feel, it's about the opponent. Alabama, it's a 3.5-point spread. I feel like Alabama's going to kill Clemson. And then again, I've been anti-Clemson this whole time. Yeah. I just think, how is that Clemson team that I saw last night going to hang with that Alabama team? That feels like a mismatch. So to me, that dictates what we're talking about here. North Carolina lost to a much better team. Arizona lost to a team. I mean, first of all, Clemson, a little luck factor, you know, banking and three-pointers.
I know.
Those kind of things.
Yeah.
I think that Alabama and Nate Oates are going to look at the tape and say, oh, man, we can handle this team. And then we're going to look back at it. I'm picking Alabama big time. I think North Carolina lost to a much better team. I think that's what we're going to remember when we look back at this tournament.
Who had the bigger choke job last night? Sweet 16 starts off with a bang. You had both North Carolina and Arizona, the 1 and 2 seeds in the West region, both go out. Again, it's Alabama and Clemson in the Elite Eight. On the other side, Illinois moves on. UConn dominant. We'll talk about UConn's just cruising through this tournament, which is supposed to be like this sort of region of death that they were in.
Oh,
and
get
so
out
far,
of here.
Does not look
region
like
of
that,
death,
though.
It's in their backyard. Region of death.
Well, yeah, they are the number one overall seed. They should get a little preferential treatment on the geography, but they had a lot of good teams in their region who unfortunately fell by the wayside. So, yeah. But we go back to the Tar Heels and the Arizona Wildcats, and who had the bigger choke job last night. EJ, I think it's a great poll question, too, if you don't mind throwing that up on Maggie and Pearl.
The only reason that you're saying North Carolina is because now that Arizona lost, everyone's like, oh, of course Arizona lost. They always lose.
Do.
They always have great regular seasons. They always disappoint in the tournament. That doesn't mean last night wasn't a choke job. Just because you always choke doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt still. Even last night, to me, the physicality and the talent edge was so much with Arizona. If they had just sort of played the right way, if they had just taken advantage of their strengths and not let Clemson slow the game down and let Clemson dictate everything that was going on, they would have won the game, and they should have not settled for all those threes because they weren't hitting them. Taking the basket, you had the Clemson in foul trouble. You had the N1 situation. I know you were missing some foul shots, but there was so much you could have done differently in that game.
And you're right, and they didn't. They didn't change up anything. They just kept launching threes. I mean, Jim Jackson was on the TV broadcast incredulous about the terrible shot selection. But I think the one thing you're not giving Clemson enough credit for, and again, they finished 2 games over .500 in the ACC. So that's why nobody was expecting Clemson. And, oh, by the way, they haven't been this far in the tournament since 1980.
Like, this is Larry Nance. Yes. I love that. I had no idea that Larry Nance was on Clemson in 1980. 1987 slam dunk champion. You're right. Clemson is not supposed to be here.
No, they're not. But, you know, I want to give them some credit here.
Oh, definitely.
Because they are a great three-point defensive team. Like, they will, they're making life hard for teams who want to live at the three-point line. It is so of the now. It is such a great thing. It's a great strength for your team to have, considering the type of basketball that we're seeing in this tournament, which is just raining threes.
That is such an unusual strength, too. It's the year 2024. Who's a great three-point defensive team? I didn't even know this was a thing until they started saying the numbers last night.
Yeah, they hold the opponents to like 20%.
Right, under 20%, 18%, I think, was the number. It's crazy that you can do that and out of a zone. It's easy to shoot against a zone because it's much harder to shoot against one-on-one because you theoretically in a zone, you're not getting any physicality in the outside guys. Arizona did have looks. It was almost like Clemson was in their head. You know, it was almost too easy, and these guys, once they lost their confidence from three, then at the end, were they just tired when they were coming down and just trying, or they were trying to win it all there in one play? Something was going wrong with Arizona. At the end, they even had a chance. Up until the very end, Clemson was giving them a way back in the game, and they just would not take it.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. See you in the phones. EJ, I'll give you bigger choke job. You can just say one team.
Arizona, because they played dumb basketball. Carolina, I thought, played a fine game. They just, you know, RJ Davis not making shots really hurt them.
Oh, did it ever. Again, 4 for 20, 0 for 9. But again, even in the Arizona game, you get 0 for 9.
Caleb Love
did not have a great game. And the two former teammates now obviously playing on different teams, Arizona and UNC, were both just couldn't find it. Tony is in Pennsylvania. Go to the phones early on this Friday. Hey, Tony, how are you?
I'm heartbroken. I'm a Tar Heel, born and raised in Chapel Hill. That was one of those heartbreaking losses in the NCAA. You guys described it pretty well. Talking about playing into Alabama's game and pace, that's just the way Carolina plays. I mean, they after a made shot, they're up and down the court. I thought Baycott just had a tough last, like, two-minute stretch. Missed the dunk. He lost the ball in the lane. And I don't know what Withers was thinking. I think the game was tied, and then he launched that ill-advised three at the end. I was like, what are you doing? But they physically really handled R.J. Davis. They made a point to shut him down, and hats off to Alabama. It's just a hard – like you said, there's a lot of seniors on that team. I thought for sure Carolina would meet Connecticut eventually with a rematch. You know, they were up by eight with 2 minutes left in November against UConn and then lost that game in overtime. So it's just tough loss. I just I'll shut up and listen. But thanks for all you do. I'm hitting the work and I'm just heartbroken.
Oh man, Tony, it'll kill your weekend. I'm sorry about that, but thank you so much for the phone call. And it does make it harder because in this day and age, when it's, I know we have a lot of upperclassmen, but a lot of times those guys are transfers and stuff like that. For Armando Baycott, it's like you've been riding with this dude. It feels like, you know, he feels like he's been in college basketball forever. Literally, when you and I started our show 3 years ago, he was like an established college star, and he's still here.
Well, to make it even worse, NC State and Duke still alive. Imagine if they advance and North Carolina. I forgot Clemson. Yeah, I don't know if. I think NC State and Duke hit a little closer.
You're absolutely right.
But you're right. I don't think they're used to worrying about Clemson. When's the last time North Carolina basketball said, oh my God, I can't believe Clemson's here?
Larry Nance was playing for Clemson. Larry Nance.
Yeah. When they had a bracket of one hit wonders, I'm sure a couple of them came from 1980 on their run.
That would be tough to see Duke go all the way. Oh boy, this is again.
Don't make Tom's morning worse. Tony's, Tony's.
You know, it's funny because we were talking about how this was sort of a chalky tournament up until this level. I knew the upsets were coming. I knew the one seeds were going to start to fall because EJ's been claiming this is the blue bloods are back. You know, trying to say that we're going to have giant ratings because it's going to be North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky in the finals. No, this is again basketball right now. The state of basketball. We saw it last night. Anybody can win in these tournament games. And I think we learned one thing. The better coach team really has an edge.
Anyone can win in this tournament unless you are playing UConn. You will not win in this tournament if you are playing UConn. UConn will win because they have won 9 straight tournament games. We'll get more into the Huskies.
Overrated.
Perloff. Not pulling any punches when it comes to UConn. We'll get into that. We can do that next. Maggie and Perloff, we're here on a Friday. Lots going on today, including something that I never want to fast forward through the show. I love every moment of the show. We get all this time to talk to everyone around the country. Like, we love this. But Raising Cane's opens at 9 Eastern. And I'll be damned if I just didn't want to fast forward a little bit, get to that Raising Cane's. We're going to all try it here for the first time. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to talk hoops. Excited to talk a little NFL as well. We got so much to do. Opening day yesterday came off with a bang. 855-212-4CBS. Who had the bigger choke job last night? Top-seeded North Carolina. Was it the second seed in the West region, Arizona? Let us know. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. I think everyone out there who didn't pick UConn to win at all wants a mulligan and would do their bracket putting the Connecticut Huskies as their eventual champion. I'm not so impressed, Maggie. I'm the only one in America who's not blown away by Danny Hurley and the UConn Huskies.
I mean, his wife's traveling around with a portable washing machine to keep the same underpants going.
Yeah.
This guy can't lose. It's a superstition. He's got that on his side, plus they can't be matched.
Show me, in this run, the memorable win. And when we look back on this 20 years from now, and we look at this great UConn team, what's the win we're going to remember?
I don't think people do that with basketball as much.
Yes, they do. Remember when Michael Jordan beat Georgetown? I think, or when Patrick Ewing beat Hakeem Olajuwon? I think
you
are defined by
Michigan. I get it.
Duke, that's a great one. Or Duke beat UNLV. UConn has played. Listen to their run in this incredible run where they've beaten everybody by 20 points. This is last year. Iona, St. Mary's, Arkansas, Gonzaga, Miami, San Diego State. I am sorry, that is not exactly UNC, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas. That's a bunch of nobodies. Then they beat Stetson and Northwestern and a worse San Diego State team this year, a team that we already knew they could beat. And Northwestern, I'm sorry, they should be covering that game, not playing in that game. And then Stetson, I mean, I thought Stetson would give a run. But I'm just saying this UConn team has not been really, really tested yet. Yes, they've been dominant. And yes, I'm mad because I didn't have them winning at all, and I regret that I had Auburn take them out. But I really, really wanted to see them tested against a seed higher than the three. The highest seed they've beaten is a three seed. I want to see them against a one or a two and see if they can win by 20 like they've been doing in every other game.
Okay, well, I think you're going to get that chance because I think they're going to make it all the way to the final. So you are going to get the...
But are they going to see a one seed?
They could see Purdue. I mean, they... Can you give me Tennessee, even though
they're
two
seed? That would be higher.
What
yeah.
about Duke? I mean, they're going to have to beat somebody really big, whether it's going to be another one seed like Purdue or whether it's going to be a memorable team because they have a player that's so great with Tennessee and Dalton Connect, or Duke's always Duke. So
yeah,
I say not all is written yet. This is a better team, I think, than UConn even had last year. And here's the thing. If they were squeaking by and winning on buzzer beaters and all this stuff against the, you know, Northwesterns of the world, fine. But they're dominating.
Yeah, but
they won
so
the
what?
Big East this year. They won the Big East tournament this year.
Yeah.
All right.
I understand. Listen, I get it.
They're not impressed.
Yes, they are killing everybody. But come on, let's see somebody give. I want to see them. It comes down to the final minute. I want to see what this team is really made of because we're not seeing it yet because they're beating everyone by 20. I don't want to see the kid. I don't want to see the Hurley out there and garbage time anymore. Give me a good UConn game. Somebody step up.
So Danny Hurley actually addressed this last night in a pretty funny way, talking post game about why he prefers his team to win in these blowout fashions.
I mean, we suck at winning close games. So, you know, you got to go with the alternative. I think the group, we got a killer instinct. We play every possession with great desperation. We got NBA level players that are incredibly well prepared.
Yep. Hurley's got a little Jim Harbaugh in him, does he not?
He's definitely a character like Jim Harbaugh. I know he's Jim Harbaugh, but
maybe it's the family. It's like two sports families.
I know, because they're winning now. Everyone has to pretend he's funny. This is just annoying me. Like, we're really doing this. We're pretending Danny Hurley is funny. First of all, Danny Hurley seems like he could turn around and be closer to Bobby Knight. Well, Jim Harbaugh is actually not that far from Bobby, but it feels like he is an angry dude if you mess up on the court. He's a Mr. Intensity, and I give him credit for that. The team plays like that. But all of a sudden, Danny Hurley is this lovable guy. Come on, that guy is a killer.
He's a little high strung.
Yes.
You think? High strung. He and Danny, and I covered his dad when coaching high school basketball in New Jersey when I covered high school sports here. His dad's a little intense, too. Nicest people you'll meet, but intense.
I once interviewed Dan Hurley, and I asked him, because, of course, I'm me, well, what superhero would you be as
EJ?
A head coach? Who do you think he said?
What superhero would Dan Hurley be as a head coach?
Batman, because he has no superpowers, and he just has to get by on guile.
I think he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've only been watching film for the last 40 years.
He actually gave me two answers. He said, for Wolverine, so you want to talk about the intensity protocol, Wolverine. There. Yeah. Then he said, well, actually, I'm thinking I'm more like Iron Man, self-made guy.
Self-made?
And I'm like, what?
Dad's in the Hall of Fame for being a high school coach. One of the all-time documentaries. Woj got famous because he wrote a book about him back in the day.
Yeah, your brother was college basketball's number one star before you.
He went to Seton Hall. He played for P.J. Carlissimo.
Yeah.
All right, coach.
Well, I don't... I like the Wolverine, though, and that's pretty good. Kind of, isn't not very funny. Kind of like Wolverine.
Chris Lopresti is in doing updates with us this morning. Hey, Chris.
Good morning. Man, Perloff's really down on UConn here.
I'm not down on UConn.
It's not just impressed.
Everybody's celebrating UConn as if they are UNLV in 1990. They've not beaten a great team yet.
Right. They're doing it like half asleep here. These are like scrimmage games for them pretty much.
Well, I ask you a question. Is it better that they are not beating Blue Bloods yet advancing, or you're Purdue and you're losing to God knows who in the first couple rounds in the last few years? Getting taken out by Fairleigh Dickinson and St. Peter.
You're asking me, is it better to win the title or lose in the first round?
I'm just saying, 16
seed after you. I guess it's better to beat San Diego State than to lose to Fairleigh Dickinson.
Can we save the same energy for Purdue is what I'm saying?
No, because
don't
nobody
just give it to UConn.
No, because everyone thinks Purdue's going to choke. Matt Painter has been doing that for years and years and years. Because I did not have them advancing, I was rooting against them last night. I'm going to be totally honest. And then I watched San Diego State 5 minutes in. I'm like, oh, my God, this team is not good. They're going to have to hold this, they're going to have to hold UConn to 47 points to win this game. So I just want to see them play a complete team.
But isn't there San Diego State got a little lucky because Yale beat Auburn in the first round, and
the officials helped with that one, too. In my opinion, no way you should have kicked out that guy early in the game. But anyway.
No, but I was going to say, we do talk about the fact that Purdue loses these early round games and other teams have, we talk about not having blue bloods in the Final Four. I mean, isn't it impressive, though, that of all these other teams that somehow keep tripping themselves up, that UConn is able to survive these kind of games?
Yes,
not only survive,
yes,
that they're dominating these games.
No, absolutely. You have to understand the bar I'm talking about here. We're talking about UConn is one of the great all-time college basketball teams. I think they need to beat a Duke in the final, or they need to beat Houston or Purdue, at least Houston or Purdue, because right now if they go through and they end up beating NC State in the final game, I just don't think we're going to look at UConn as one of the great all-time teams. Because college basketball is different these days. There's a level parity that there wasn't in my heyday, at least.
Well, in another part of the bracket, you'd have a number one seed go down last night in L.A.
0.9 on the clock in a two-point Alabama lead. Free throw, no good. Rebound, Ingram. His shot blocked by Nelson fittingly, and it is over here in Los Angeles. Alabama has knocked off the one seed, North Carolina.
Spiro Dedis, final call on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, 89-87. The final score is the Crimson Tide advanced to the Elite Eight for the second time in program history, first time in 20 years. And you heard Spiro mention Nelson, Grant Nelson, who had a huge game for Bama, 24 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. He joined After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio and has a little theory on his increased popularity.
Some people might have a little fetish with my mustache, but I don't know.
I usually go the other way with mustaches. I'm not a mustache guy.
I didn't want to say it because I don't love to criticize college kids, but that thing is awful. I mean, as long as he put it out there, I'm not a big crustache person. I know kids like to wear them now. Ironically,
a crust. Well, I don't even know what that is.
Crustache, like it looks like it's just a wisp. Like he doesn't. He's got the mustache, but it's not filled in like Keith Hernandez or something.
Okay.
It's just like. It's a little like upper lip hair more than a mustache.
I honestly could not disagree with you two anymore. Any mustache is cool, and I respect any guy who rocks a mustache. They are awesome.
But you know kids today.
Yeah,
Everyone's rocking a mustache, so you're not different. You know, it's not that Tom Selleck who like made it his thing. Mm.
That's why it's so cool. It's such a statement because everyone knows they're ugly, and they go for them anyway. Anytime a friend grows a mustache, I'm like, sweet duster, dude, just go for it. I love it.
Where's your mustache?
I am not a mustache guy.
That's the point, though. The point is that you can look goofy and still rock it. That's what the kids are doing now. Well, they know it. They're wearing them ironically.
You know who I get compared to sometimes? The butler in the Jeffersons. I don't know if you guys remember that show. I remember they had a white butler. If I wear a mustache, I'm an identical twin with that dude. So that's why I avoid it. That's kind of an old school reference.
That sounds like even more reason to grow it out.
Let's bring it all
I've
back.
Had a mustache. I think one of my social media handles is me with a mustache. I could do it, but I don't know. It's a lot of work, too. It itches. You're right.
We have a show bet lingering.
No, I'm not doing a mustache. You can.
I don't know. I mean, he brought it up. This is the other part. I feel bad for the young women today dating these guys with
itchy?
These bad mustaches.
Is it itchy?
No. My husband has like the beard, so I'm not worried about that. It's just you're going to look back in photos and be like, you look goofy.
Yeah. No, they look cool. You look like you're from 1978. You've been in a time machine. Everything about mustaches is amazing.
I know, but right now the nostalgia is not 1978. These kids love the 90s.
New poll question.
Yes.
Are mustaches cool?
See, you're going to win that one by a wide stretch.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's that type that he's got.
Oh, Eddie, yeah, that's even better. The uglier, the better, right?
Yeah, I'm just down on them all together myself, but I'm probably in the minority there, so that's fine. All right, the only better-seeded team to win last night, higher-seeded, whatever you want to call it, That was the defending champion UConn Huskies. They keep rolling 85-52 atop San Diego State. They will meet Illinois in the East Regional Final as the Fighting Illini held off Iowa State in the final game of the night, 72-69. You also had Clemson over two-seed Arizona, 77-72. So it'll be the Tigers against Alabama in tomorrow's West Regional Final. Baseball opening day, well, for most teams at least, it had featured a walk-off by the defending champs.
Leo won. Swinging a drive up the alley in right center field. Jonah Heim has walked off the Cubs. Jonah gets that chance, and he drills that pitch up the alley in right center. He's getting mobbed by his teammates out near second base.
That's Matt Hicks, Rangers Radio, as the Rangers topped the Cubs in 10-4-3 on a night where they hung their first ever World Series title banner. Travis Jankowski had the pinch hit game-tying homer in the ninth to force extras. The team they beat in last year's Fall Classic fared pretty well themselves. How about a franchise record 14 runs in the third inning alone for the Diamondbacks, most in an inning on opening day by any team since 1900, as Arizona went on to hammer the Rockies 16-1. A couple other notables.
Wait, sorry. Should we just pause on the Colorado Rockies for a second?
They're terrible.
Strictly for betting purposes? Is this something we should be keeping in mind about fading this team? Betting on baseball, wouldn't recommend it. It is really difficult.
Especially if you're Ohtani.
Yeah.
Ipe had major issues. Ohtani.
Friday morning fastball from Pete Pilotti.
That's what crossed my mind. I didn't say it, so good job out of Pete.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Next thing you know, you're down seven figures to an illegal bookmaker. Yeah, right. It escalates quickly, guys.
Right, checks everywhere.
It starts with runs, hits, errors, and then all of a sudden, now you're in federal investigation. But something about Colorado. We should keep an eye on that. We're trying to look for something.
Maybe
here.
The A's of this season, but over there in the National League.
So. If you're looking for to go low.
Yeah, that was a rough opening day for them, certainly. We mentioned Ohtani, and his Dodgers did beat the Cardinals 7-1. Home opener, or home debut, I should say, for Ohtani, and he looked calm, cool, and collected. 2-for-3, walk and a run scored amidst that ongoing scandal and investigation into his now former interpreter. The Yankees came from 4-0 down to edge the Astros 5-4. Juan Soto, in his Yanks debut, walked twice, drove in a run, and then threw out the potential tying run at home plate in the bottom of the ninth. On a ground ball to the outfield, came up with a good throw at home and just the swipe tag from the catcher, and they held that up on video review. It was very close, but the Yankees get the win in Houston. Only two NBA games last night. So how about the Celtics? They blow a 30-point lead Monday against the Hawks, and this was one of those, you know, home and homes, or except not home and home, two games in Atlanta against the same team. And then last night, they lose on a buzzer beater. DeJounte Murray for the Hawks, give them the 123-122 victory, 44 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. So a couple of rough losses there for Celtics in Atlanta this week. You also had the Pelicans over the Bucks in New Orleans, 107-100. And then lastly, from the NFL, sort of, I guess. So the Chiefs going overseas for their newest player and potential weapon, reportedly agreeing to terms with European rugby star Lewis Rees-Zammit. So he's going to get a look at running back and wide receiver, but apparently the biggest impact he could make could come on special teams as a returner under this new kickoff format. So he was part of the NFL's International Player Pathway Pro Day last week and ran a 4.43 in the 40-yard dash, visited with some teams, and landed on the Chiefs.
So you're telling me this is part of the new kickoff rules, that they're getting an international guy? What does this guy have an advantage over any other? People are debating, does a wide receiver return the ball or does a running back return the ball in the new kickoff? I've never heard a foreign rugby player having an advantage.
I don't know that he's specific to the rule, but I guess they're feeling like the area he could actually pay dividends would be as a returner, which is now maybe going to be a thing again since they're bringing the kickoff back.
Yeah, I know what's going to happen. Can I just tell you what's going to happen? This dude's going to catch the game-winning touchdown against the Bills. I know this is going to happen. It's going to be some dude who got to the NFL 5 seconds ago, and he's going to break my heart. Here's another question I have about this guy. So they're calling him a rugby star.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't know if that's true or not.
They're word against nobody's. Like, I can't call you out on this. So just my question about it is, how much is he going to get paid to be on the Chiefs?
Minimum
$400,000, something like that.
Whatever the minimum for his age is.
Right. Yeah. So if you're a star in rugby, are you actually taking a massive pay cut to come to the Chiefs in hopes that you become maybe like the next? Who does he want to become?
Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey. But they're not paying running backs anymore. But he can catch the ball also. I just don't. If you're this, if he is a star, and again, I don't.
I think it's like porn star. I think star is used loosely.
Just as long as you're participating, you're a star.
Yeah. It's like in TMZ says, NBA star Tristan Thompson had another issue with Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah.
Eagles have a pretty good rugby player. Jordan Mailata was a rugby player.
Right.
So it does, but he was players? Yeah, but he weighs 360 pounds. I think it's
different
easier.
Type of yeah. Yeah, it's not skill position.
So, yeah, it's skill position. I mean, every offseason we get this headline: some kid from Germany, and I saw the kicker try. There's some kicker in Europe who had a 70 yarder the other day.
Okay,
that rarely means anything. He's not going to catch a touchdown against the Bills.
Just wait.
He's just paranoid, Maggie.
Of course I am, and I'm wondering why doesn't my team have just get anybody?
Like, wait, yeah, okay, you're like, well, that's what the Bills are missing. Some dude from New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm like, where? Why Brandon Bean? Get, you know, you're sitting around with Pat McAfee. Get off your keister and let's get over to the UK and let's find the best rugby star. Because apparently, I didn't realize the stars wanted to come. Like, this is my whole point. The Chiefs signed this rugby star, Luis Rees-Zammit. We've never heard of him. But if you're getting the top of the top rugby players, okay, now maybe there is something to it. I just thought they'd get the fringe guys.
The highest paid rugby player, Finn Russell, makes. Was approximately, I guess, in U.S. dollars, $1.3 million.
Yeah, so not get a big out of number. Here. It's not like the soccer stars.
Right.
Excuse me, the football stars.
Yeah. I mean, overseas. NFL might not be popular overseas, but I think Tom Brady's more popular than the most popular rugby player, I would imagine, by 50 times.
Yeah.
But I mean, what about Patrick Mahomes? Because Tom Brady's a celebrity.
And had Giselle.
Right, that's what I said. That's what I mean by that, yeah. Like, Pat Mahomes, you think he's more?
Yeah, I think whoever the biggest rugby star, I think Patrick Mahomes probably sells more phones in Asia or whatever.
I just feel like Europe just could care less about American football.
We're really trying to make it happen over there.
We are.
Really anywhere that will have us. You know? South America, Central.
Trust me, when we make it to Mars and Perloff loses his bet 10 years from now, Mars will be the next place we have NFL football.
Yeah, the Mars Marauders. It's like the travel kind of sucks, but
I also think people
are a real disadvantage when you have to take a month to get there. But now at that point, the NFL season will be 12 months a year, so.
I think people will probably underestimate how good these NFL players are because they've been playing the sport since they're seven. It's kind of like Brazil with soccer. Why we're never going to be good at soccer because we don't start young enough. I can't imagine rugby players making any impact at all.
That's so funny because the irony is my kid was first enrolled in soccer at two. And I was like, what am I paying for? Let's get him the hell out of here.
But why is Brazil and these other countries, well, they have a lot of people in Brazil, but why are they so much better at soccer? Because I thought it's sort of institutionally, start really early.
I think it's different. I think actually, well, some of it's that, but I think more the bigger issue is the best athletes in those countries are playing soccer.
Right. It's more diverse
football,
in America.
Baseball.
But soccer is obviously getting better in America because you're right. Every kid I know starts with soccer. So maybe America will be better in 20 years, hopefully.
I just feel like we've been saying that for 20 years.
Yeah,
here we are, ready to get knocked out in the first
living,
round.
Living, breathing
of what,
example.
The WC.
That was like the first sport I played as a kid. I was terrible at it.
I did not last long. What was so bad?
My parents have home videos of me literally standing on the field watching the pack of kids following the ball, and I'm just standing there watching. And they're like, maybe this is not for him.
And then the people who run the soccer league are like, that's going to be $500.
Yeah, right.
But don't worry, you get a free T-shirt.
I love you soccer when everyone follows the ball. It looks like a swarm of bees going around the field. See, like,
I was on the outside.
You had nothing to do with it.
I didn't like bees, so I guess that's what it was. I was like, stay away from that.
Kid looking at the grass?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was watching the action. I was watching the action.
You were
I wasn't
to be
picking
a broadcast.
Daisy.
I can outlame that. I was really good at soccer, but my asthma was too bad in the fall, and they had to sit me down. Hashtag nerd.
That is the Perloff story. If you ever write a memoir, it's like what I could have been, except for the allergies.
No. Soccer was my jam, and then they were like, I can't breathe, Mom. They're like, well, maybe an indoor sport.
Instead of 100 yards, let's do 100 feet.
Yeah.
Basketball, it's 200 feet.
In Brazil, the pollen isn't as bad. That's why they're so good.
It's their secret weapon. CeeLo, thank you so much. I should be going to break right now, but I'm going to go to Kai in Boise because he has a thought on Grant Nelson's mustache. Grant Nelson became a bit of a star last night as Alabama upset North Carolina. He's the big man. He's got a bit of a crustache. Kai, what's your take on the stash?
My take on the stash is that it's whack, and that's a Movember thing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's it's March.
The only reason why you're supposed to grow it out. I have no idea why you'd be that age and grow it out. But I did want to give you guys, I spoke with you guys a couple weeks ago. It used to help me fall asleep, but now it's keeping me awake. So you guys are getting better and better.
Yes.
So, but anyways, I had UNC going all the way because of their 7 and 8 year old seniors or whatever age they are. As far as Hurley, those dudes are hella awkward. My mom's from NorCal, so I got to meet a couple of them there in SAC. And it's kind of funny to me because that mustache thing is more like a Jeffrey Dahmer type of thing.
Oh, geez.
Versus like
Kai.
You know, something cool.
I mean, could have went to 101 different examples there. You don't got to give us the serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. Kai, glad we're keeping you awake. You should probably go to sleep, but we're glad we're keeping you awake. He would have met the Hurleys in Northern California.
Well, Bobby got drafted by the Kings, right?
Yeah, that's why. He wasn't there very long.
He was there. Was he? I know he got in the car accident.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't know how many years he played in Sacramento.
3 or 4, maybe.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, that was obviously a tragic start to his career. What was his number 7 pick and or top 10, and he totally fell apart? Yeah, I would not think of the Hurleys as Northern California.
Yeah, Bobby played there 4 years, or 5 years, and he got traded.
Also, there's something about anyone, whether it's Northern California, Southern, I don't want to generalize. I know they're very different types of areas, different types of people. But there's something that's generally laid back about California when you compare it, especially to the East Coast. There is nothing laid back about the Hurleys.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
dudes couldn't relax. Can you imagine going on vacation with that family? It'd probably be a nightmare.
Yeah, the funny thing is, Bobby seems like the chillest out of the group.
Do you know he drinks 4 Red Bulls before every game at Arizona State?
But his
heart's going to explode on the sideline. Yeah. I hope that doesn't happen.
I feel like you think Bobby's cooler because we're just not seeing him as much because Arizona State's not that great.
He's a madman.
Yeah.
Well, who's the one? Right, but he goes crazy during games, right? But
he's crazy.
But Danny's a little meaner, right? Or am I wrong?
I think they're all the same degree.
I think Danny, it feels like it's funny because he's a little brother. He feels like, to me, like he's more of an alpha than Bobby. Maybe because Bobby's been an assistant to him. I feel that way. But Danny, I feel like
Wagner.
Danny will take you to the woodshed if you don't set the pick the right way.
It does seem that way. Okay, up next to you guys on the phones, we will get to you. Coming up, did the LSU football coach Brian Kelly commit a major faux pas yesterday? Get to that in a moment. Maggie Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back on Maggie and Perloff, we're talking about our mustache is cool.
amongst other things.
And I was thinking,
this is off of, by the way, Grant Nelson last night, star for Alabama. Yep. They take out North Carolina. He's a big man with a little mustache.
That's a great way to describe it. Yeah.
He was dominant at the end of the game. And then afterwards joined our very own Amy Lawrence right here on CBS Sports Radio. Many of these same stations and said he believes that women, or maybe men too. He didn't really that have a fetish for his mustache. And that's why he's so popular these days.
Did he use the word fetish?
He said fetish.
So I'm looking at all-time great mustaches in NFL. I mean, Mike Ditka's mustache alone could have won games for the Bears. It is so powerful. And then everybody in the 70s, Ken Anderson and all those guys. But the best current mustache, Gardner Minshew was rocking the Uncle Rico look for a long time. He has a full beard now. I think it's Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, but Rodgers is in and out with the mustache.
Yeah, but he seems to be the biggest mustache guy. I think he's a weird hipster.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's been confirmed several times. But you had your favorite football coach is Mr. Mustache.
Oh, Andy Reid. But Andy Reid's mustache, you know, because it froze on national TV against Miami in the wild card. Andy Reid's mustache is not a statement. It kind of feels like it's been there forever. Like, he's not being ironic or cool or hip in any way.
No, but I think he's probably got the best one. I also think Ron Washington is a good mustache. We're talking about the best current mustaches in sports. Forgive me, and I'm sorry, and I hate to talk about this about a young man. I do not think it is Grant Nelson from Alabama. I think Ron Washington, Andy Reid, these guys have him beat.
No, but Andy Reid, also, it's light, and it's always been there. I think you need to come out of nowhere with a mustache to make a statement. Like, if Brock Purdy showed up week 1 and was rocking a mustache, That would be interesting and cool. You can't be Andy Reid and had one since 1994.
That's just his look. It's just
his
face.
Look.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a young man with a mustache, and I like this wispy mustache. I think it's going to become a trend.
I hope it's on its way out as a trend.
I mean,
it's
a statement. I think it had an impact last night against North Carolina. were like, this dude's, what is this, facial hair? They were distracted.
Mesmerized by the wisps. Daily's in the chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Grant Nelson is from North Dakota. Did you see his hair? Dude is 100% North Dakota.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Are there more mustaches per capita in North Dakota?
Probably. I would guess North Dakota is on the heavier side of the mustache.
the most mustache-heavy state in the United States.
There's got to be some data on this. I don't know what group put these numbers together.
What, hair club for men? I have no idea who needs these numbers.
When you were single, do you ever remember being in a bar and say this guy with a mustache come up to you?
You know, when I was single, this was not the style.
Yeah.
When I was single, the style was, I feel like a lot of hair gel.
Yep.
My husband is not that type of person, but it was a lot of hair gel.
What about goatees? Were you there for
goatees,
the big goatee?
Yes.
Do you remember that movie, a terrible movie, Chasing Amy with Ben Affleck?
Yes, I do.
He had the hair gelled up and the goatee. That was like 1999. That was the style.
Yeah, you are so right. It was a goatee world and women just had to live in it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, not what we would have chosen.
Yeah, and now goatees. I mean, Dak just shaved his goatee. Jalen Hurts.
And Dak.
Yeah.
The soul patch was still a thing then, too. Oh, like, and that's like Phil Jackson going back, like the little patch of hair right under your bottom lip in the middle.
Like Shaggy and Scooby-Doo.
Tom Tolbert.
That soul patch. I mean, honestly, that'd be a no-go, right? If a guy walked up with a soul patch.
I would
in the
not.
Early 2000s, Maggie Gray, he's out.
No, not my taste.
Well, you wanted mustache data. Somehow I have it.
Really?
This is why you're the executive producer.
So Style Seat conducted a search based on the methodology used. We conducted a Google search analysis to determine the most popular beard and mustache styles in each state. According to them, top five states for mustaches in America: New Hampshire, Delaware, West Virginia, Idaho, Texas.
And what do those states have in common?
They're not a lot.
Nothing.
Delaware and Texas is pretty much the opposite as you get.
One of the smallest states and the largest state. One of the largest states. It's kind of hard.
Something feels consistent. Yeah, of course West Virginia's on that list.
Mike D'Antoni had a good mustache. He's from West Virginia, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the Knicks fans called him Pringles when he was here. not places with the least favored mustache places, I guess. I don't know. I can't say that.
Fewest amount of mustache.
Fewest, yes. Arkansas, Wyoming, Ohio, Iowa, Montana.
Those
states seem a little closer. Huh. I think Montana, it makes sense because it gets so cold there.
You need a full beard.
Need a beard, right. It's almost like Canada, you know?
Right.
So you can't do a mustache out there. Honestly, that might be the thing. I mean, Idaho gets really cold, but that might be the thing that kind of... Oh, New Hampshire, too, is cold.
Yeah, I know. And they're just doing mustache.
Yeah, so they don't seem to care. Are they tougher than the Montanans? I don't know.
Wait, EJ, have you ever had a mustache? I've only known you with sort of a beard and a mustache.
I feel like I definitely didn't do only a mustache. There may have been a time where I did like a mustache and then like chin hair kind of thing. Not a soul patch, but like a chin hair. Not a full goatee. I've done that. I did that probably like high school. I did that in high school, but never a mustache. Pete, if I had a mustache, my girlfriend would leave me.
Pete, hi. I can't even imagine you with a mustache.
No, it doesn't look good. I've tried on occasion, but no. Yeah, I've passed on that.
You'd look like more like a pro wrestler if you have the bald head and you had a full beard, like an old school, but you pretend you're from Russia or something.
It doesn't grow correctly on my face.
And that's good that you know that.
What do you mean?
No, because I've tried it.
It's patchy.
Patchy. It looks weird. Yeah, no.
So I just bought my kid an old school toy called Wooly Willy. Do you remember this from back in the day?
No.
It's basically a face that's a little like Pete's, actually. It's all clean shaven. So the guy's totally bald and he's got no facial hair or anything. And then you have these little magnetic shavings.
Yep.
And you use a magnet and you can put the little magnetic shavings to give them hair.
Wow.
I'm going to be honest.
Oh, I know this thing.
Yeah, it's old school.
Yeah. Does he like it?
He does like it.
Are you trying to get him to think about a mustache later down the road?
Anything to get him out of off a screen for 5 minutes. That's all this is.
Well, he's four. He's four, so he's a few years away before he can grow it. Right?
He grows a mustache, and I'm sure that if whatever I don't like, the crustache, I'm sure is what he'll grow.
I remember in eighth grade basketball. You know, men are just boys are coming into puberty. We went to Norristown High School. Norristown, eighth grade, and the whole team had those thin mustaches.
In eighth grade.
In eighth grade. That's when you know you were about to get whooped. When the other teams got mustaches in eighth grade, that's pretty much the line. When you're jumping center against a kid with that thin stash, it's over. I'm like, you're not 13. You got to be at least 16.
I'll never forget, I was playing freshman football, and there was one kid who's actually still a friend of mine. Shout out to my boy, Josh K. He had freshman football, so 14 years old.
Yeah.
Full beard, and we're doing going through workouts, and we're doing all this stuff, and everybody's thinking like, oh, well, one of the parents is working out with us. That's kind of weird, I guess.
Why did he shave it?
That was his identity. He was Wolfman.
He's beard guy in eighth grade.
Beard.
Ninth grade, sorry.
Yeah, eighth grade going, because we started in the summer, because you know you get ready for training camp. So summer of eighth grade going into high school freshman, full beard. Never haven't seen it before, since. Didn't see it before then.
Yeah. That would be intimidating. You it's get totally off the bus and it's a bunch of eighth graders.
Yeah, we
with
made
mustache.
Sure he came off the bus first when we were playing in games, because people were like, oh my God, they got some monsters over there.
It's like the kind of guy, the kids, you've heard about this from professional athletes a lot, like their mom had to carry their birth certificate with them when they were going to play youth sports because no one believed they were the right age.
Yeah, the sixth grader with a stash who's 6'2".
We never got to Brian Kelly's faux pas. We will get to that. Also, Caitlin Clark riding the bench. We'll explain what could find her on the pine. Get to that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.